after Yitzchak Avinu is born in Parshas Vayera, we find that Tzari Menu, in source number 1, Pasuk Ted in Perakof Aleph, saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had born to Abraham, mocking. The Hebrew word is mitzachek. So she said to Abraham, drive out this slave woman with her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with my son, with Yitzchak. Vayera, it was very difficult. It matter greatly distressed Abraham, alodos beno, regarding his son. So Hashem said to Abraham, be not distressed over the youth or your slave woman. Whatever Sarah tells you, kol asher tamar lecha Sarah, shema bekola, heed her voice. Ki b'yitzchak yikara lecha Zara, since through Isaac will offspring be considered yours. But the son of the slave woman as well will I make into a nation, for he is your offspring. So Avram awoke early in the morning, took bread and a skin of water, and gave them to Hagar. He placed them on the shoulder along with the boy, and sent her off. This is the story of the reason why Yishmael is sent away with Hagar from Yitzchak. It was Sarai Imenu who saw this child being mitzachek, mocking, laughing. Rashi says, mitzachek has connotations of Arzara, Giloy Rayu, Shvichus Damim, the three major cardinal sins, that she said he cannot be in the same household as Yitzchak. The question we need to ask ourselves, and it's phrased in the way Art Scroll notes Rav Hirsch in the asterisk in 2, presumably Avraham noticed the same things about Yishmael that Sarah did. But he must have felt he should not let Yishmael leave the wholesome influence of his home. The question I'd like to ask today is a very basic question, and has a tremendous amount, the ideas we're going to discuss here, has a tremendous amount of relevancy for our lives. And I'll preface today's discussion that a lot of the things that we'll say will cause us to bristle a little bit, we'll agree, we'll disagree. Some of them are very charged topics. We're not here to come to final conclusions. We're here just to raise some of the issues and at least, you know, bring them out to the fore. Was Avraham Avinu really aware of who Yishmael was? Was it only Sarai Imenu who was aware of it? And if indeed Avraham Avinu was aware of it, why didn't he act himself? And if he wasn't aware of it, how could we say that Avraham Avinu wasn't aware of the chinuch of his own children? So we need to try to understand the dynamics, what Sarai Imenu saw that Avraham Avinu didn't see. And Mirtz Hashem will respond with three levels to that question. Before we do that, I'd just like to preface our remarks today with understanding the depth of the situation. Rav Dessler, Strive for Truth, notes that this was Avraham's 9th test, the last one before that great final test of the Akedah. And the Medrash adds that of all the misfortunes that had befallen Avraham in his lifetime, this was him for the worst. Hashem gave our father Avraham the greatest Baal Chesed in all creation, many tests dealing with the quality of Gvura. He bore a great love for his son Yishmael. And even after Yitzchak was born, his affection for Yishmael did not lessen. The command to banish him from his house was a great blow to Avraham. As we saw in the Midrash quoted above, his quality of Gvura was clearly demonstrated by the manner in which he performed the task. Avraham Avinu loved this child. Avraham Avinu, Lu Yishmael Yichyeh Lefanecha. Avraham Avinu wanted that Yishmael should also become great. For Avraham Avinu to take Yishmael, this son, also born after so many years, and to banish him from his home, banish him from his influence, with the future son unknown, Avraham Avinu, who bore the quintessential model of Chesed, to be able to act with such gvura, with such almost restraint, to send his wife, or the bondswoman, with this child, his child, to the desert with just some water and some bread, was for Avraham Avinu a tremendous test. And he did so because this was Ritzon Hashem. This was the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as the Shaarei Derech notes from Menachem Freiman in Source 4, that this really is the attribute of what a test is about. He says, "Nimseinu lemedim shanisayon hagadol biyoter laadam, yanisayon shel bitul hadad veretzonos hatzmiim." If we were to characterize what a test is really about, it's very much about our suspending our knowledge, our belief system for a higher will. So often in life, we would like life to go according to our plan. We would like life to go according to the play script that we would like to write. And when it doesn't go this way, there's a certain frustration, a lack of control. Well, why aren't things going my way? And to be able to go through a difficulty and say that there is a larger will here than my will, and I have to succumb to that will, I have to be able to work within that will, because there is a higher force that's driving my life, it's a very difficult thing for people to suspend. And we fight this all the time. Lo, a person is sick. We do everything we can. We would like the person to get better. Kadosh Baruch Hu sometimes has other plans in mind. To be able to say, you are the ultimate judge, is very difficult for a person. And these are also the everyday nisyonos of life. So often people say, continues the Sharei Derech, if I only had this type of family, if I only had these type of children, if I only had this type of financial security, then I could be an Eved Hashem in a different way. Like, what do you want from me, Hashem? And what Hashem wants from us is, Lahavin Shekol Zeh Hevel V'Rus Ruach, the end of the first paragraph in 4, to think this way is false. V'chol HaChakirot Halalu Ma'avim Kishalon Achad Gadol B'Nisayon HaGadol B'Yoter. And to think this way is really a failure in the ultimate nisayon of our life. And that nisayon is hatmimus vashlama im ritzono shel borei olam. The ultimate nisayon is to be able to live a life where we say, if this is ritzon haborei, this is the will of Hashem, I am going to walk b'tmimus, I'm going to walk with wholesomeness in this path and be able to accept what ritzon Hashem is. Now, out here, parenthetically, obviously, life isn't black and white, and there are many gray areas. A person isn't getting married. They shouldn't just say, okay, God doesn't want me to get married. They do all that they, you know, should do in terms of hishtadlus and tefillah in order for them to, you know, to get married, whatever the nisayon may be. But having said this, while they are going through this nisayon, recognize that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from them. And to be able to accept that this is what Hashem has put on them in their life, and this is the Ritzon HaBorei, is helpful in order to get through these different nisyonos. One perhaps doesn't understand why one has to go through this nisyon. One doesn't understand why one is blessed with a child with certain difficulties. But this is what is tailor-made for a person's neshama to become the best that they can be. So the hashlama doesn't necessarily mean to throw up your hands and say, okay, God, I'll just sit back and do nothing. No, the hashlama means, being at peace with it means, that I'll go through the ishtadlos, I'll go through all the measures that I need to go through, because this is the way of the world is, and this is what I would like, and this is what I need to do. But all the while understanding that at the same time that I am trying to improve the situation, I need to be able to accept that this is where I need to be at this particular time. And that is crucial, because we know that people sometimes go through a very challenging nisayon and they put their life on hold. And as if they say, you know, I'm not coming out of my home on a metaphysical, philosophical level. I'm locking the doors until this nisayon is over. Part of our challenge is to be able to give ourselves over to a higher authority who recognizes that for whatever reason, this is what I need to go through in order for me to be whom I need to be in my life. And that is why he says clearly that our job is litzod bo, v'litablot bo. We need to move forward in life. We need to move upward in life, because this is a reka ha'ishiyah mitzuyam shel chayenu. This is tailor-made for us. V'lasig bo kol mailos ha'nefesh v'chamudeha hashmurot ach v'rach lanu. And we have to recognize that we have to take away any suffix, any nu milibenu, that this isn't tailor-made for me. You know, it's so interesting how people think that they know themselves so well and that they know exactly what they need. But the truth is that we are so nogea badavar. We really don't know what we need. And oftentimes, just like a parent knows better for a child what they really need, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is our ultimate parent, he is the one who has formed us, he is the one who has breathed life into us, he knows what is ultimately for our good. And that's the famous Ramban at the end of 5 that the Shari Derech quotes of the definition of the Ramban of a Nisayon. The Nisayon, the test, is for the benefit of not the one who is testing, but for the one being tested, Lahotzi Lavi Min HaKoach HaLapoel, to bring out the potential in a person. We have tremendous potential that we don't bring out. It's very interesting. On a Kabbalistic level, the different metals correspond to different ones of the spheros. So, for example, Chesed corresponds to silver, and Gvura corresponds to gold, and copper corresponds to Tiferet. We know of the three, which is the one that's the most expensive, which is the one that's the most solid, that lasts throughout all time and doesn't tarnish, really, is gold. It's Gvura. And Rav Nachman Breslov notes on this. He says that's to show you that what really makes a person strong and what really makes a person, if I could use this word, valuable, is the gold, is the Gvura, are the tests, are the nisyonos that we go through in life. And that's ultimately for our good, and that's the mindset that we need to embrace these nisyonos. And that is why the Sefer Vayavinu Bamikra notes in Source 6, Lamanu po no ros mi midaso shel Avraham Avinu. We see here the power of the midah of Avraham Avinu. Sharei maisa zeh haya neged tivo shaya kulo chesed v'nitchased af l'rishayim gmurim v'yispala aleihem. This was counter to Avraham Avinu's character. We see that by Stom in our parsha, he's davening for Rishayim. Ulechol olam kulo petach beito l'rvacha. And his home is open wide for everybody. But here he's told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this is incumbent upon him to drive away his son. He gets up in the morning immediately without hesitating and does what he is told, because he understands that he needs to be able to suspend his mindset, his will, to the will of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Hashem Yisbarach, double underline in 6, Sivalit Chazit Lehit Achzer, and if Hashem has commanded him to be, so to speak, cruel, then he has to act with Zrizos, with alacrity in this as well. Obviously, we cannot forget, as Rav Chaim Shmulevitz notes, Miskenim Et Bonan quotes in 8, that although Avraham Avinu sends out his son and he passes this Nisayon, he nevertheless still shows a tremendous amount and feels a tremendous amount of love to Yishmael. When you have the Rashi, the end of the Parsha, that Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, right, take your son, Kachna Bincha, and Rashi brings down the famous Medrash, I have two sons, Et Yechidcha, the only son, they're each only to their mother. Asher Ahavta, I love both of them. Even though Avraham Avinu hated what Yishmael did, he hated that he went to Tarbus Ra, but nevertheless, he still was able to have that understanding that a father's love for his son never ceases, never ends. And the Midrashim talk about how Avraham Avinu would visit Yishmael, and ultimately Yishmael did indeed do tshuva. Having said this, having noted that this Nisayon was a difficult Nisayon, having noted that it's about suspending what we believe is best for the Ritzon Hashem, now let's try to enter into our specific discussion for today. Was Avraham Avinu aware of how Yishmael acted even before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before Sarei Menu, told him to do this? So obviously the question hinges on, well, where was Yishmael at that time? What was the state? What were the actions of Yishmael that would have aroused the tension? So the Chaim Moshe Rav Bik notes in source 10. He says, "V'nire ki be'emes lo haya l'sara l'gareshet Yishmael, ki haya lo l'daber libo l'tiv drachav." Shouldn't it have been an option, instead of Sara Imenu saying, "Let's get rid of this boy," for her to have tried to influence him, for her to try to have taken the Sara Imenu, incredible influence of the Imahos, to try to work on this child? What Sari Menu saw, according to Chaim Moshe, is the following, that Yishmael began very stark. He was a real Talmud of his father, Avraham Avinu. And then he left, and he went, started deviating. And Sari Menu understood that a person who's connected and then leaves, it's much harder to come back. Not impossible. We know Yishmael does come back. But this is what Sari Menu was claiming to Avram. She says the chances of tshuva are very, very slim. He knows the truth and he's rejected it. To which Avram Avinu felt distressed. "You mean to say my son isn't going to do tshuva?" And the answer is no. In the end, he does do tshuva. But she understands what Avram Avinu, what she's trying to tell Avram Avinu is it's very difficult for such a child to do tshuva. Which again begs the question, he didn't know. So the level number one is no. Obviously he did know. Source 12, the Ksav Sofer. The Nirali, the Haya Avram is Supak Mayasa. He knew that Yishmael was connected and was moving off. He had a suffix. He didn't know what to do. Im Yishlach et Yishmael Ulai Tovose. If he sends Yishmael, maybe it's good. Ulai Lo Tovose. Maybe it's not good. Because says that Rabbi, if I send him away, the chances of him being good are nil. But if he's around me, then there are chances that he'll be influenced. For sure, if he's not around me, just being by his mother, the chances are not good. It's better that he has this relationship of the left-right in front of him. The negative zeh chashash ifcha, but there's another consideration here. Pain yulmad Yitzchak b'maisav haroim b'tchabro l'Russia. But the other consideration, he has one consideration, should I keep him here, should I not, what's the best environment? The other consideration is, when we're talking about environment, what's the best environment for Yitzchak? Will Yitzchak be influenced by Yishmael? V'lo yad Avraham ala, so that was the quandary that Avraham Avinu was in. And this is what it means on a different level, that it was distressing in the eyes of Abraham. About his son. Which son? Pshat is about Yishmael. He was distressed what happened to him. That he went out to a bad way, bad influences. No. Odot b'no is Odot Yitzchak b'no. Avraham Avinu now is distressed what's going to happen about Yitzchak. How can I keep a Yishmael here with a Yitzchak Avinu around? The lulei kein ayatov shelo legarsho, ela bishvil b'no lo yada ech yaseh. It was only because of Yitzchak, that nekuda, that's where the suffix in Avraham Avinu's mind came in. Otherwise, he would have understood for sure not to send him away. And that's why Hashem says, listen to the call of Sarah. Because she sees that Yishmael's not going to prove his ways, and that Yitzchak needs to be the tzaddik, and it's not so simple if Yishmael is here. You're right. If there's a chance for Yishmael to do tshuva, maybe that would change the equation. But that's the idea that we saw in the Chaim Moshe. She understood that one who's shano pireish, it's much more difficult to do tshuva. Only later in his life he does tshuva. And because the chances, Avraham Avinu, that Yishmael's not going to do tshuva right now, the stakes are too high to keep Yishmael around at this time. On this, the Tambadas, Rav Sternbach, in Source 13 notes, he says, Shamati b'shem HaKadosh HaChafetz Chaim Zatzal, Shesara Rasa L'Gareshet Yishmael Kidei SheYitzchak Lo Yomad Mimasav. What was the driving force in Sari Menu's mindset, according to Chafetz Chaim? It wasn't per se who and what Yishmael was. Again, if that was in a vacuum, leave it that way. But it's the influence of Yitzchak that is her concern. Va'Avram chashav ha'hefech, and Avram Avinu thought the exact opposite. Mutav sheyu yachta v'Yitzchak yashpi al yishma l'tova. Avram Avinu thought, adding another dimension, is why are we worried about Yishmael influencing Yitzchak? Perhaps Yitzchak will influence Yishmael. And I'll tell you, as a teacher, and we see this as parents as well, this is a big dilemma that teachers have in a classroom when you want to set kids up at tables two by two. So very often you take a real, you know, rabble-rouser type, and you put them by the most quiet kid, assuming that the quiet kid is going to influence the rabble-rouser. If any of you have ever been in a classroom, or your children have ever been in a classroom, you know that's not what happens. The quiet one usually does not affect the rabble-rouser, fakert, that child, the more difficult child, has the influence on the quieter child. And it's a real challenge. It's a real challenge on educationally how to make these balances in life. And he says here the following, the tamo, the reason, why shouldn't a Yitzchak Avinu have an influence on Yishmael? Why is it the opposite? He understands the human nature so well. The tamo, pashut, the asterisk in 13. Shekal ma'od liyehudi lifrok ov litkalkel, v'kasher lalecha bederech ha-Torah u'beprat b'tzviva ra. It's much easier to throw off the yoke than to embrace the yoke, particularly depending on the environment. And we need to understand that it's much easier in life, we know this, to walk downhill than to walk uphill. And if someone's going to say, I want to be your walking partner, Shira, and all I'm doing is downhills, and someone else says to me, all I'm doing is uphills, well, which walking partner am I going to choose? That's life. We have inertia. And inertia leads us to lifrokol rather than to take on more responsibility. And therefore, says the Tam V'Das, and this is so important for our lives, Lachen yesh li zahir ma'od, kisheshokel yitziyato l'mekomot meruchakim lashpia leilech b'derech ha-Torah, im hadavar lo yifka b'chinuch bana. When a person goes out to Kiruv, and a Kiruv is so essential, and so many people are changed, and Dorei Doros are changed, no one's saying you shouldn't go out to Kiruv. But what he is saying is, it has to be weighed with chinuch of your children. Right? Lubavitcher Rebbe gave a special bracha to the shluchim, that their children would be intact in these environments. Yes, there's a big chesed to go out and to change, but you have to realize and take into consideration at whose expense. V'imheim lo yishbu miyasviva, that they don't become influenced. V'av v'ein mechuyavim tamid lashkiach al b'neihem shitchabru l'chaverim tovim davka. And parents have to ensure that their children have good friends. There's nothing worse than a bad friend who has a bad influence, because children's teva is to be able to take in so easily. And you can't be mitchaseid al chashbon banenu. You can't try to do a chesed of saying, oh, this family is, you know, very difficult and it's, you know, totally dysfunctional. Let my children play there and at their house and on their turf, so to speak, because they will, you know, help this child. They may help this child, but at what expense? And you have to weigh this out. And I warned you at the beginning that this is a difficult issue. I recently had parents who called me for almost a two-hour session. They were worried about their nine-year-old playing with somebody at somebody's house. They weren't even worried about the friend. They worried about the friend's sister and the influence the friend's sister has on her. How should they handle this in the best way? These are parents who are not overreacting. These are parents who are careful parents who want to make sure to do the right thing for their children without pushing anybody away, but learning to embrace. And my friends, when we're talking about influences in a home, it's not only friends in terms of people. It's all the influences that we bring into our home. Parents have to understand that they are responsible for the environment in the home. And we talk about that children are so easily influenced. They're influenced by all the influences they have in their home. Garesha Tamavet Bina is a paradigm of not only getting rid of Yishmael, because Yishmael is a bad influence. It's a model of anything in our lives, whether it's technology, whether it's literature, whether it's music. The list goes on, and for every family, it's going to be a different criteria and a different, everyone has their own measure of what they think is appropriate and what's not appropriate, right? Some people feel like, what's wrong with the New York Times? Other people say, you ever look at those large page ads of lingerie in the New York Times? What do you want? Or these magazines, what do you want around your home for young boys growing up? These are the questions that you have to ask yourself. What type of computer games are children playing? What are they seeing on the internet? All of these are the major questions. Sarah Imenu is saying that they themselves might be okay, but when they're around the Yitzchak, you got to get them out of the house. You yourself may be okay watching these things, but when they're influencing another child, when they're influencing young children, then we have to ask ourselves, are they still that okay? And perhaps we have to get rid of them from our house. Perhaps we have to say, while the children are until this age, the children are young, these things do not belong influencing or having any type of say in the chinuch of one's home. Now, I want to make one more nekuda on this level, and I think it's a very important one. According to this, when you have a negative influence, so it's clear, get rid of the negative influence to protect the child. So I can understand that, and again, with chachma, with friends, that the children should know these are the appropriate people to play with, these are the types of homes that we usually don't interact with on the same level, or the child can come to our house and you don't go to their house, again, with chachma. I can understand that with computer games, with internet, with literature, etc. But now let's flip the question around. Let's say that the negative influence is another member of the household. Let's say it's a similar situation to our story of a Yishmael and a Yitzchak, where one child, it doesn't mean necessarily going off the derech, that one child just has values that are negative influence on the other children. Do we then say also, well, let's get rid of the negative influences? So you might argue, well, that's what happens in this case. Avraham Avinu was told, get rid of this negative influence, get rid of Yishmael, and that's what you should do anytime you have a child who's not holding by the straight and the narrow, to throw him out of your house. On this, says Rav Gamliel in Tiv HaTorah. He says, Hara Gedola Yesh Lomod Mikan, source 17. We have to learn something very fundamental. That Shafilu Shishmael Yatzel Latarbus Ra Lagamre, even though Yishmael went on the bad path, Lulei Sha'amar Lo Hashem Behedja Shishlechenu, had Hashem not told him specifically to send this child out, Avraham Avinu was not just listening to Sarah's nevuah, but rather he needed an explicit directive from Hashem. Klomar afilo ruach hakodesh lo ratza Avraham lismoch b'inyan zeh. He didn't want to just rely on the ruach hakodesh of Sarah Imenu. He had to hear it from Hashem himself. And he says, kama musar aleinu lemod mikan, that if we have, God forbid, this in our home, we have to be very careful not to close the door completely, not to throw the child out. Because Avraham Avinu was very, very reluctant to do this. It was only when Hashem said, do this, did he do this. Otherwise, Avraham Avinu felt that it was better to keep the child in the house. To cut a child off, to close the door on a child, is a very, 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 very difficult thing to do. And unless explicitly told by Das Torah, by great, great people in Chinuch, and it's really thought through, one should not so quickly throw one's child out of one's house, but rather one has to have Eitza from people in this field. How do you deal with this influence? How do you deal with these children? How do you try to be able to create a household where you can still influence the older children and not lose the younger children as well? And it's a tremendous amount of siyata d'shamaya, a tremendous amount of tefillah, that one is able to have the correct balance in the home. But do not learn from here that the first recourse should be to send the child away. That was Avraham Avinu's last recourse until he was explicitly told so. So my friends, the first level, did Avraham Avinu, was he aware of what happened? The answer is absolutely yes. He was very well aware. He had all of these considerations in mind, who was going to influence whom. And we need to understand how powerful influences are on our family and how careful we have to be to create a home, and particularly in our society where everything infiltrates, even the frumest of home, even the homes of B'nai Torah, that we have to try to create as strong a bulwark as we can to protect our children in these times. The second level is based on the Medrash that Rav Goldwicht Zatzal, the first founder of Yeshiva Keren B'Yavna, Sufas Marochos, a classic Sefer, notes in Source 18. Quotes the Medrash of Beit Shirabah, Vayera Dover Mo ben Abraham, it was very distressful in the eyes of Abraham. Hadu Dikhtiv, this is what's written in Yeshaya, Od Seim Eino Mir Od Bera, one closes one eyes from seeing evil. In the context of the Psukim of Yeshaya, it's speaking about Tzadikim, Holech, Sidkos, Vedover, Mesharim, people who are upright, who speak on the upright way. And it's, the Medrash learned it all about Avraham Avinu. What's the Shevach here? The Shevach here, the praise here, is that he wasn't Shaloh Hiskil Lavchim Birushiko Shal Yishma. The praise here that Avraham Avinu had closed eyes, that he wasn't able to see how bad Yishma was. And he wasn't aware of what extent Yishmael had gone off until Sarai Menu opened his eyes. And that's a Shevach, that's a praise to Avraham Avinu. So on the level two is, no, he was aware, but not to the full extent. How is that a praise to Avraham Avinu? So Rav Goldwicht proposes a whole mindset, which he lays out, starting in Source 19, that we know the Medrash speaks about, very famous Sheva Brachot Vort, that with an Ish and Isha get married, Zachu Shechina Beinehem, if they're worthy, the Shechina will dwell among them, the Yud from the Ish, the Hey from the Isha, and if not, if they're not Zocha, Eshoch Latam, you take out the Yud, you take out the Hey, you're left with Aleph Shin in both names, and fire is going to consume them. What's the idea of the Yud Hey? The idea is the Yud is the letter Kibaka Hashem Soralamim. These are the letters that Hashem created the world. The Yud represents the future world, the next world. The Hey Hashem created this world. The Ish posits, based on the Chazal, Rav Goldwicht, and develops that the Ish represents, the Yud represents the Ish. His mind is totally in the world of the Ruchnias. His mind is in the world of the spiritual, and his job is, and all of our jobs is, to bring the spiritual into the physical. But the problem is, it's like, you know, a plane, if any of you've had, you know, sometimes you have pilots that you think that, or not you think, you know, that they have been in combat before they became, you know, on El Al or any other airplane, they come down like, bam, and you know, like you hit ground, you know, like you thank God you're off this plane. You can't go from the spiritual to the physical like that. You're going to crash. You need to have some type of medium to allow you to take those wheels down and be able to make the landing a smooth landing. That's the job of the woman. The man is flying. The woman has the wings and the wheels to say, relax, come down to earth. It's the partnership where he's the Yud, she is the Hey. She has the ability to understand the Bina Yisera, this world, much more. She's much more practical than he is. Men and women are different, right? Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. It is the makeup. Okay, we're being very general here. But any of you know men and any of you know women, you know we're not so far off here. That the men have, you know, these beautiful spiritual ideas and they're up there in the clouds. But when it comes to the simple things like dressing their children, it's not that fathers don't know how to dress their children and that they wear polka dot and stripes together, and isn't that beautiful? If they have no clue how to dress children, again, obviously there are exceptions, they have no clue of what it means to keep, you know, the pantry and the house running. Obviously, we understand what we're saying. The wiring is a different wiring. Sometimes they have to be wired that way. Sometimes husbands have no choice, Laura Lane, but to take care of children and to do these type of jobs. But the wiring is different between man and woman. And here we understand the dot in 24, Umikan Shorish Pore Rosh Lechoto Shel Adam. We understand the sin of Adam Arishon by listening to Chava, that he or she was supposed to be the gesher, the bridge, to bring them into the world appropriately, and instead she allowed him to deviate off course. And that's what Medrash says, that some listen to their husband and mess up, and others listen to their husband like Avraham Avinu and benefits from it. And this is the asterisk around the circle in 25. Umikan nigzar. Avram lo haya asui lavchin b'machshavotav shel Yishmael. U'bivadai lo yada lasik et hanidrash l'maisa be'inyan kam nidrasha be'achrecha haitarvut shel Sarah. Here, it's not a question that Avram Avinu didn't see. He was only capable of seeing X amount. Being able to see the implications of this child's action, being able to see how what he is doing is going to affect who and what he is, that's a Chochmas Naishim Ban Sabesa. That's a Bina Yisera. That's the ability for Sarah Imenu, for a woman who has a different pair of glasses than Avraham Avinu. It wasn't that Avraham Avinu didn't see. He's seeing spirituality. He's seeing an Ayin Tova. He's seeing a good eye. He's seeing everything in a positive light. He's seeing everything in the level of the Yud of the next world. Sarah Imenu, who has the ability of a woman to see things in this world and in this world's context, she is able to tell Avraham Avinu that what you see is only half the picture. You need the Yud-Heh together. You need to work in tandem. You need that balance of the spiritual and the physical to be able to create that perfect home, to create that balance. Rabbi Nissel has a great imagery for this in 26 in Rikshe Leit. He says the first time anything is found, Reb Sadok, that is the source of what the whole idea is about. The whole idea of male-female, he says, begins way before man and woman are made. It's found in the first pasuk. Bereishis bara Elokim et ha-shamayim v'et ha-aretz. Asterisk 26, in the beginning, God created the male force and the female force. The male force is the role of shamayim. It has an effect on the earth by sending down rain. The female force is the role of aretz. It receives the rain, absorbing it into himself, thus nurturing and nourishing the seeds that have been planted in it. After a hidden internal process has been completed from inside of itself, it produces life. The Shemayim-Aretz relationship mirrors the male-female relationship on many levels. On a complex and subtle level, it parallels the male-female partnership in creating spiritual goodness in the world in its most potent form. In a pristine world, the man alone is unable to create spiritual goodness that will last. Just as rain without the earth to absorb it is wasted, so a man's efforts can go to waste or even worse, be perverted and distorted. The female is the Adama that absorbs the rain, providing a bias, a home for his Ashba influence, ensuring that it's sustainable in its pure form. She removes any impurities or distortions. She ensures that a spiritual creation has true life. And that is the filter that a woman has to enable the home to prosper. And he notes that in this case, Avraham Avinu was totally focused on chesed. His tent was open on all four sides, indicative of his choice to keep nothing for himself, to be an absolute giver. On the mystical level, chesed is a spiritual characteristic that originates in the higher world. Unconditional benevolence has no natural place in the lowly physical world. This unconditional benevolence, this is a true act of chesed, free of any unselfish motives. But we know that when a brother and sister marry each other, that's also referred to as a chesed. But that's a chesed perverted, We know that Yishmael in his acts is also referred to as a perverted chesed. His motives were immoral. Sari Menu in 28 by the asterisk understood that her holy mission was to be the bias of Avram's chesed. She had to ensure that it would be passed on to future generation in its pure form. She had the clarity of vision to see Yishmael as a threat to the purity of Avram's chesed and the courage to remove him from Avram's house. With this difficult act, Sarah ensured that Avram's spiritual creation would flourish and would have continuity. Sarah became the Adama for the seed that Avram planted in the world. And he notes, which is interesting, that the word Av, father, is related, he says, to Iva, which is unbridled desire, inspired desire. That's what the Shemayim is. It's energy. But the mother, Im, is the same word as if. Aim, Im. It implies caution, not so fast. Let's give it release power. And so often you see this in the dynamics of a home where the father's going to burst out with, let's do this, and the child should learn this, and the child should do that, and why isn't the child doing this, and? And the mother's response is, whoa, slow down. The child can't take on all of this at once. It has to be the shpa, the influence, has to be slowly. To pour water on the ground is going to flood the ground if it's too much. Drip drop method, depending on the ground, depending on the seeds. That's the beauty of the mother. That's the beauty of the relationship of having the heavens and earth work together, where each knows a mutual respect and love, where each one's job is. Together they build the home. Together they mirror the home of Avraham Avinu and Sarai Menu. And as Rav Pinkus points out in Nefesh Chaya, Source 30, that's the job of the woman, is to protect the home, to stand on guard, lest the Kedusha of the home be affected, to protect your ground, to build those fences, to work that ground so that you know that each and every fruit that is going to grow is going to be the best that you can hope for with all the work that you put in. To work so hard on the ground and not to have a fence around it and not to stand guard and let any wild animal come and destroy it. Ah, what a pity. What a shame. V'hamevin yovim. Nisyonos are challenging. It's giving up our will to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. We sometimes have to do things that are beyond us, emotionally, painfully. This is what Avraham Avinu learns here. He has to send away Yishmael. His influence is a negative influence. On the first level, he's aware of it, but he's in doubt as what to do. On the second level, he's aware of it, but only in the very abstract sense. It's Sarah Imenu who understands the implications for the here and now. And Avraham Avinu has to understand that building a bias is being able to have the give and take between husband and wife. Then I'd like to suggest a third understanding. And that's much more subtle. Rav Wolbe in Shirei Chumash explains the following. Nirem Lashon Rashi 31, Shishmal Adayin Lo Ratzach V'lo Avad Avad Azara Beit Al Shalam Ravinu. Yishmael at this time hasn't killed anybody. It's not like an Esav. He hasn't worshipped Avad Azara. V'chein Hu Adayin Lo Avar Al Giloy Arayos. He hasn't done any of these things. Ela Shisara Imenu Hekira Shibeschog Shelo Hayumunachim Kol Shlosha Veiraila. She understood that underneath this mockery, these things were going to come out. Zeo Mabacha Chazal Kol Dovar Katan Shal Filu Dvarim Shehem Yeherig Val Yavor Matchili Mischol Katan. Chazal understand here that you don't wake up one day and do these terrible things. It has to have a seed. And very often the seed is schok. And again, schok is not laughter in terms of humor, as we'll see right now. Schok is about mockery. It's a much, much more dangerous type of laughter. On this level, Sarai Menu saw something that most people wouldn't have even perceived to be anything of any serious consequence. Let's explain. Rabbi Moshe Young, in a very, very beautiful sefer, Apples from the Tree, which is a sefer in Chinuch Bonim, Rabbi Young from England, has almost every essay under the sun you can imagine, homework and influence and tremendous sefer on Chinuch. He says in 32, he has a whole chapter on humor, and he says that humor is not standardized. Jokes that seem hilarious in one country may not even elicit the glimmer of a smile in a different country. And you have to understand that, yes, laughter has a very important place in the home, and we need to be able to create a home that's full of simchas achayim. But poking fun of others, scoffing, which we call leitzanos, and that's how we're defining the mitzachek here, the mockery, is a type of so-called humor that is not at all funny. And I'd like to work with Rabbi Young here as he develops it, because I think his message is so crucial for all of us, whether in raising families or in raising ourselves. When a person's in the habit of scoffing, the Maharal says, there's no end to it. Innocent laughter provides light relief, but scoffing at others accustoms us to devalue the important things in life. Scoffing can become a habit that embeds itself within one's character, and we cannot escape its pernicious influence. It will undermine even those things that are sacred. He gives many examples. We'll just share one or two. 33. When children hear their parents scoffing at others, for whatever reason, it affects their entire future. Little Baruch, for instance, had heard his parents speaking disparagingly of a particular yeshiva. It seems that this yeshiva works with weaker students in the hope of raising their level of achievement. So when Baruch's mechanech recommended that yeshiva is the most suitable place for him to continue his studies, naturally Baruch refused to go there. His parents had no choice but to send him to a different yeshiva where he was never happy and never settled down. The power of Leitzanos 34 is great. Moreover, it's the essence of Amalek. The Torah says that because Amalek mocks everything sacred and considers the truth as nothing, so the end of Amalek will be nothing. Amalek will just disappear. Vachriso Odeoved. Odeoved, as Bilam says. Parents can destroy their children by making a joke of everything. 35. How is Chani going to keep high standards of kashrus when she is older, if she hears her parents ridiculing those who are careful about checking for insects in the fruit and vegetables they eat in order to justify their own laxity in such things? Perhaps they say that those who are strict have excessive chumros and create unnecessary difficulties for themselves. When we poke fun at others, it has such an effect on the shmiras mitzvos of our children. What about parents who speak disrespectfully about Talmidei Chachamim, calling them only by their last names in conversations, are undermining the dignity of Torah, calling teachers by their last names without a proper title also sows the seeds of disdain in children. Similarly, ridiculing the subtlety of certain subjects will make those subjects seem irrelevant to children, so not make an effort to study in them. It is amazing how what we think is, you know, funny to make fun of, to poke fun of, who needs to study that? That's really, it affects the future generation. Rav Tzedakah Cohen discusses laughter, Machshavos HaCharutz, and he notes that the word litzchok, to laugh, does not appear in the Torah. He says, until Avram and Sarah hear that they are to have a child, laughter came in the world at that time. Now, obviously, Sarah and Menu did not laugh at the beginning of our parsha from disbelief. But rather, as Rav Tzedek explained, she felt that if in her young age, when she had so much koach, she wasn't able to bear a child, how was she going to be able to do this when she was older? Nevertheless, the element of non-reality in the asterisk in 36, as Chazal expressed it, a denial of reality lay in her subconscious, and Sarah laughed inside herself. Therefore, there was chok laughter, and this internal laughter would emerge later and descended Amalek. Thereafter, there would always be a battle between the Jewish people and Amalek. But laughter would be either for good or for bad. Now, if we take this further, my friends, and I think this is a very important nekuda. We have earlier in our parsha, Sarah Imenu laughing. We're familiar with the interchange that Sarah Imenu laughs, and she's called on this, and she says, no, look, I didn't laugh, Kiareya, she was afraid. And the response is, no, Kitzachak, you did laugh. And here, obviously, which on the level, obviously, of Sarah Imenu, what she's being criticized for is that laughter, which could be a laughter of disbelief, had a small taint of that, not in the word of scoffing, but in the disbelief sense. It was not 100% on the level of Sari Menu, pure laughter. Rav Belsky in Einei Yisrael notes, Hashem, who searches out the heart of man, noted that Sari Menu's laughter contains some very slight impurity, a tinge of the other kind of chok, the laughter of ridicule. The slightest trace of ridicule has the ability to take something of import and reduce it to nothing. This is a type of laughter that leans to late sonos. The trace was so minute that Sari Menu herself was unaware of it. That's why he continues Kiyareya, because she says, I'm filled with Yira Shamayim. I don't feel in any way that my Yira Shamayim, that's Kiyareya, she was afraid. Not that she was afraid that she was lying. She said, I don't feel my Yira Shamayim was in any way affected. And Hashem says, you may not have noticed it, but I noticed it. And this, if we move to the last page, my friends, is the idea, continues Rav Belsky in 38, that later, that this caused her to become very sensitive to the nuances of laughter, to the point that she could recognize even a very slight deviation from the pure and unsullied simcha shel mitzvah expressed previously by Avraham Avinu. And now we can appreciate. Vateira Sarah ben Agara Mitzrita shel Yalda Lavra Mitzachek. Now when she hears Yishma Mitzachek, and it seems to be just on the outer level, something that was laughter out of kavod, out of respect, a product of the outward refinement and decency that Yishmael had absorbed. But Sara Imenu was able to realize that there was something faintly malicious in that laugh, something that betrayed a latent tendency toward murder and toward Avodah Zarah. Because of what Sari Menu just went through, because of this critique, the greatness of Sari Menu was, she was able to hear that rebuke. There was something tainted on your level. And she became much more sensitized to this. She learned from this experience. So now, when we have this mockery, when we have this laugh, Avraham Avinu didn't pick it up because it was only the sensitivity of Sari Menu. It was the depth of what Sari Menu experienced personally that she was able to say, this laughter is the beginning of no good. I see where it's leading. Now it looks like just laughter. But this is the laughter that can lead to leitzanos, lead to mockery. In a Sari Menu as a tzadekis, you don't have to worry about that problem. But in a Yishmael, but in a Esav, in a person who has the tendency toward, then you have to worry and you have to be careful because it's at the edge, ready to explode, a volcano ready to erupt. And on this third level, Avraham Avinu didn't have this ability to perceive what Sari Menu, the Ruach HaKodesh, the deeper understanding she had. And therefore, immediately she said, before this turns into anything else, when it comes to leitzanos, when it comes to mockery, you have to nip it in the bud. And Avraham Avinu says, you're 100% right, because mockery in leitzanos is one of the most dangerous things around. And we ourselves have experienced this. You can go to a shiur and people come out and they're like, wow, inspired. This is an amazing shiur. And one person at the end of the shiur will get up and make a silly comment and just knock everything. Ha! You think that this was something? What was he saying after all? And some remark like this deflates the entire shiur. It is important to understand, continuing at the end of 38, the great danger of ridicule. Leitzanos is the path to every immoral act. Normally a person is ashamed to do something wrong. There are things that no self-respecting person would ever do. He'd be too embarrassed. But Chazal say, ridicule and frivolity accustom a person to morality. If everything is a joke, the gravity of sin fades away, natural barriers disappear, and people do as they please. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created an entire universe from nothing. A yesh ma'ayin, a leitz, a scoffer, uses ridicule to make nothing from something. No idea, no person is too sacred to trample upon. This is why elites cannot be a Yirei Shamayim to have fear of heaven. This fun, ridicule, and joking are at the center of the society in which we live. We must be aware of this. We must never lose sight of the need to cleanse ourselves of this abominable trait. And this is the idea of Garesha Tamah Sof Epinah. What does it mean to rid Hagar Yishmael? It's not just ridding them. It's a binyan av to teach us that when you have ridicule, when you have scoffing, when you have people making fun, that is where you mamish have to get down to the core and be able to deal with this child or this situation. Again, when it says get rid of, that doesn't mean necessarily throw them out of the house. It means get rid of this quality. Get rid of this trait. In this case, Sari Menu understood who Yishmael was and to what extent, as we see later, he was going to go to this negative path. It's very, very crucial to be able to, when we hear children making fun of something, to stop them immediately and to be mechanech them that this is not the path of a yid. And it has to start with us. When we make fun of people, when we call people by, you know, a disparaging name, when we make fun of certain Hasidic sects, when we make fun of certain minhagim, when we, whatever these things are, and we think it's funny, you know, let's go make fun of these type of people and the way they daven, and let's make fun of these type of people and the food they eat. We all know what I'm talking about. And we think it's cute, and it's a good laugh. A good laugh at other people's expense has a far greater price tag than we're ready to pay. Because what it does is undermines religion, it undermines minhagim, it undermines people, and the effects can be far-reaching. That's not only this person people don't respect, your children don't respect, it will be all rabbanim that people don't respect, and that lo aleinu can have very disastrous results. We have to recognize how we have to be with a certain amount of reverence to that which is found around us, and our children will learn reverence as well. That doesn't mean that humor is out of the question. It does mean making fun of others has no place in our home. And as the Parsha says, what was the greatness of Avraham Avinu, the end of 41, the Sefer Machsheva Satorah, Hashem said about Avraham Avinu, Ki yedativ lamana sheyetzaveh banav beiso acharav, that I know that he's going to transmit the Torah to his sons and his household afterwards. The idea of acharav means that the children are able to follow the path of the father, acharav, even when the father is no longer there. That's our goal of chinuch. As the Pasuk in Tehillim says, L'chu banu shimu li, yirat Hashem alam dechem. L'chu, go my sons, listen to me, I will teach you the ways of Hashem. Why does it say L'chu banim? There's a very beautiful word, forgot from whom it said. Why does it say bo banim, come my sons? Why L'chu, go? It's this very nekuda. Our goal is that L'chu banim, when our children go away from us, when our, not away from the Mesorah, but when they leave us, when they go on the path of continuing and growing in life, when the L'chu banim, they're still able to Shimuli Yirat Hashem Olam Devchem. They're still open and ready to hear the Mesorah, and they're following in the path of their fathers. In order for us to, Mirtz Hashem, be able to raise children, that will be L'chu banim shimuli, to have children who will be achrav, who will be able to follow in the path of their parents, even when their parents aren't standing over them. You need to have the dimensions we've spoken about today. One, where parents need to be very careful of what influences the child in terms of peers, in terms of outside influences, that they be appropriate influences. Two, you need to have a husband and wife, a father, mother, working in tandem together with a mutual respect, where the father gives a tremendous amount of energy and the mother is able to take that energy and to build with it and to create with it. Again, that doesn't mean a woman doesn't have energy and a man doesn't build, but this is the primary function where the woman is able to have the shmirah of the Kedusha Sabai when a child is growing up in a home where the husband and wife, the Yud-K, work in tandem. And finally, a home where laughter is very important. But mockery and scoffing is not found. It's a home of reverence. It's a home of respect. And when children grow up in a home where religion is something that is treated with awe and with reverence, the children themselves want to continue this path and be able to transmit this path for many generations to come.